If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. What a joy to greet you again today in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're rejoicing because God's blessings continue upon us during the days of the summer. Summertime is revival time at Worth Baptist Church, and week after week, we have seen the hand of the Lord in a very real way. God has saved souls and added to the church during the days of the summer, and we've experienced the fires of revival burning brightly here at Worth Baptist Church. We would like to take a moment to acquaint you with the ministry and program of our church. We are now in the 23rd year of our existence. In fact, soon we'll celebrate the 24th anniversary next spring. For some 8 years now, we've been broadcasting Worth Baptist Hour over this radio station. So we're rejoicing in what God is doing and has done through the years and what we believe He's going to do in the days to come. If you're looking for a church home, a place where people gather to worship God in the beauty of holiness, where preaching is prominent, where the gospel of Jesus Christ is proclaimed, and where the emphasis is on winning people to Jesus Christ, we believe you'll find that at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. Our textbook in the Sunday school of Worth Baptist Church is the Bible only. Our motto is teaching the whole Bible to the whole Sunday school to enlighten the whole family to the whole truth. Our theme this year is building for Christ as we build for eternity. In just a few weeks, we will complete our new construction, our new building, and we'll be moving into new facilities. Our new location is Campus Drive and Loop 820. But for the present location, here at 3309 Wilbarger Street, we invite you and your family to share with us in the Sunday school and the study of God's Word at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday morning worship service is at 11, and our evening worship hour is at 7. All of these services have been planned to meet your spiritual needs. You will discover a warm welcome, a friendly atmosphere in which to worship Christ today at Worth Baptist Church. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. We would like to hear from you by mail this week. Our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas 76119. If you would like a free copy of today's message on a cassette tape, it is yours simply by writing and requesting it. Write today and request today's message on cassette tape, and it will be sent you free and postage paid. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. We shall look forward to hearing from you this week. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, The First Miracle of Jesus. I shall read from the Gospel according to John, chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. But before I read the Scripture, I want you to pause whatever you're doing and join with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for redeeming grace. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, the plan and program of eternal redemption through Him. We thank Thee for this Lord's Day, for the church, for the Bible, for the privilege of preaching and voicing the gospel over this radio station again today. Now, Father, I pray for every listener. Thou knowest every home and every heart that this broadcast is reaching. I pray for our senior citizens, many of them in the rest homes, some in their own private homes. I pray for those in the hospitals. I pray for that businessman who needs an encouragement today, for that family where death has come and where hearts are broken and sad and where there are disturbances and where some need employment and need a financial miracle today. I just pray that the Holy Spirit would use this message to bring courage and strength and comfort to every listener. I pray for our nation, for Washington. I pray for our president, for all our governmental officials. I pray for our city, for our mayor, for our city councilmen. I pray for county judges. I pray for the entire structure of government. And may men in places of responsibility see the need of turning to Jesus Christ. Send a revival to America. Lest we perish, revive America for our survival. I pray for a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal, a spiritual revolution in our land. May that work begin right here in the city of Fort Worth. Bless, we pray, every listener now to this broadcast. And we shall praise thee for it all, because we ask it all in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. And with thanksgiving we pray. Amen. In the Gospel according to John chapter 2, I begin reading at verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called, and his disciples, to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. The very first miracle of our Lord Jesus Christ, recorded for us in the Gospel according to John, chapter 2. First, what is a miracle? Have you given much thought to miracles that are happening today? Your very life is a miracle. The Bible is a miracle. You're breathing, you're living, you're moving. These are miracles that are happening that you often overlook. One of the greatest miracles in all the earth is the miracle of the Bible, the Word of God itself. What is a miracle? A miracle can be defined as follows: a stepping aside of the natural laws in favor of the supernatural laws. When God performs a miracle, and only God can perform miracles, God lays aside the natural law and supersedes that natural law with a supernatural law. And this is precisely what happened in the first miracle of our Lord Jesus, the turning of the water to wine. Where was this miracle performed? The Bible tells us in Cana of Galilee. Cana is a small city in Galilee, some 6 miles northeast of Nazareth and 20 miles northeast of Capernaum. It is a beautiful little city if you could visit it today. A shrine has been built over the place, the traditional spot where Jesus performed his first miracle. What was the occasion of the miracle? The occasion was a wedding feast to which Jesus and his disciples had been invited. May I pause here long enough to say, it is a good thing to invite Jesus Christ to a wedding. Some of you listening may be preparing now to get married. You're planning your wedding. Let me recommend highly and strongly that you invite Jesus Christ to your wedding, to be a part of your life, to be a part of your family, to be a part of your home, your plans for the future. Bring Christ into your life, into your future, and your future will be much brighter. So at the wedding feast in Cana of Galilee, Jesus Christ performed his first miracle, the turning of the water into wine. Now the very heart of my message will be in answer to this question. What was the significance of this first miracle? Let me answer that by saying, first of all, it established the fact that Mary, his mother, had no authority over his ministry. Contrary to what some are teaching today, Mary is not exalted as a representative of Jesus Christ in the world today and a mediator to get to God. No. The Bible declares there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So when our Lord Jesus said what he did to his mother, not disrespectfully, remember when Jesus said, "Woman," that was a compliment. "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" In the original, it would read like this, "Woman, what is there to me and to thee?" What Jesus was clearly saying was this. No earthly being, no human being has any authority over his message and over his ministry, not even his mother. To her, he said, "Mine hour is not yet come." No less than 7 times in this gospel account, Jesus said that very thing. He said it here in chapter 2 at verse 4. He said it in 7:30, in 8:20, in 12:23, in 12:27. In 16:32, and in chapter 17, and verse 1. "Mine hour is not yet come." What was that hour of which Jesus spoke? What did he mean? To what incident in his life was he referring? Jesus Christ was speaking of the hour of his passion, that is, his sufferings and death upon the cross. So when Jesus performed his first miracle, he established the fact that Mary, his mother, nor any other human being had any authority over his ministry. A second reason why this miracle is significant is this. It manifested the deity and glory of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. In verse 11 we read a moment ago, this miracle manifested forth his glory. Jesus Christ is the second person of the thrice holy God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There was never a time when Jesus Christ did not exist. Long before he pillowed his head on a mother's breast, he pillowed his head in a father's bosom in the world above. In the beginning was the Word. John chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So, my friend, Jesus Christ was setting forth, establishing, manifesting his deity as the Son of God when he performed this first miracle. A third reason why this miracle was so significant, it confirmed the faith of his newly made disciples. Remember, this miracle took place in the early part of our Lord's ministry. The ministry of our Lord Jesus lasted about 3.5 years. In the early days of his ministry, in his journey to Cana of Galilee, Jesus performed this miracle, and verse 11 says, his disciples believed on him. Remember, they had just been called by Jesus. No doubt there had to be some doubt or question in their mind as to the character, the nature of this man called Christ. So when Jesus performed the miracle, claiming the title of Creator, it confirmed the faith of his newly made disciples, and the Bible declares they believed on him. There is a fourth reason why this miracle of turning the water to wine, the first miracle we have on record, is so significant, and that is this. It established the fact that Jesus sanctioned marriage. Marriage is ordained of God. Marriage is the oldest institution known to man. Long before there was a factory, a school, a church, a lodge, or any other organization, there was a home, there was a family. It all began with the first marriage, when God Himself brought together the first man and the first woman and joined them in matrimony in the Garden of Eden. So Jesus, performing His miracle at the wedding in Cana, sanctioned the marriage altar. Later on, the Apostle Paul uses marriage as a symbol of the relationship that exists between Jesus Christ and the church. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, Paul speaks of that relationship, and Paul will say to the wives, "Submit yourselves unto your husbands in the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their husbands in everything." And then to the husbands, Paul writes, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." So Paul will use that illustration of husband and wife relationship to set forth the relationship that exists between Christ and the church. Jesus Christ is that bridegroom. We are His bride. There is an intimate relationship between us spiritually today, and nothing must mar that relationship. Christ loves us to the end, even to death, and we are to be in submission and in subjection to Him. So our Lord Jesus Christ then sanctions the marriage altar by performing His first miracle at a wedding feast in Cana of Galilee. Remember the beautiful story in Matthew 25, where Jesus Christ tells us about the bridegroom coming. In those days, the Oriental marriage was far different from ours. The bridegroom would go on the night of the wedding and take his bride out of her father's home over into His Father's home. Now watch this. Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The engagement has been going on a long time. Soon our Lord Jesus Christ will come, and He will take us out of our house into His own Father's house in the world above, that eternal dimension that we call heaven. Yes, a beautiful symbol of what our Lord Jesus is going to do for us. Now there is a fifth reason that this first miracle is so significant, and that is that it contains an element of prophecy from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. "They that sat in darkness, upon them the light hath shined." Our Lord Jesus was in Galilee, and Isaiah, 750 years before He was born, prophesied that He would go into Galilee and bring the light of eternal life to those who sat in the shadow of eternal death. A sixth reason it is so important and so significant is this. It was performed in a house, which suggests that the home is sanctioned by Christ and is the basic unit of society. Yes, the home is the unit upon which all other things in our society rest. The Chinese proverb puts it this way: if there's righteousness in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there'll be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there'll be order in the nation. And if there's order in the nation, there'll be peace in the world. Yes, Jesus Christ made the home the basic unit of society. Then the seventh reason that this miracle is so significant is this. It established the fact that the heavenly supersedes the earthly. The governor of the feast said, "I have the taste of new wine." The old bottles, the old wine, symbolized Judaism and the old religion. But the way of Christ is symbolized by the new wine. My friend, I want to ask you a question today. Have you tasted the new wine of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord? If you haven't, I trust that you will, even in this hour, and all you need to do is simply put your faith in Jesus Christ. Would you not pray the sinner's prayer? God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and God will save you even at this moment. I trust that you'll do it now, and may God bless you as you do. Before we leave the broadcast, may I remind you again, it would be our joy to have you visit Worth Baptist Church today. Remember, our location is 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our Sunday school at 10 o'clock, the morning worship at 11, the evening worship at 7. All of these services await your presence today. And remember, we'd like to hear from you by mail. If you'd like a free cassette tape of today's message, all you need to do is write and request it. Write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. So until next Lord's Day at the same time by radio, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.